Good afternoon, and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Sandra, who is here to speak with us about her experience of participating in a new program that's offered to train folks in the practice of recording and listening. Welcome, Sandra.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for being with us. So the program is new enough that it's likely that some folks who are listening may not even know what the program is. So I thought before we start talking about the impact of the program for you and kind of your experience of participating in it, if maybe you could speak to a little bit of what the program is, how, you know, the logistics of it and how it works.
Sure. And I just finished it last week. I had a great experience with it, by the way, so I'm really happy to be talk about it today.
Good. Great.
So it's a six-week program that involves approximately 1 hour session a week that's facilitated over the phone, led by an experienced instructor that is based on assignments both in class and there are follow-up assignments to be completed throughout the week as well. So one of the things I really liked about it is that learning is actually not based on lectures, although you are getting guidance during the session, but the learning more comes from class participation, listening to others' experience with the process, and then you're actually doing recording and listening exercises during and after the class. So the exercises and the assignments are always different as well. So they're always it always keeps you interested. And one of the big benefits for me is that it gave me a lot of education as to all the different ways that this practice can be used. And all the different topics that can be the subject of the practice.
Right, right. So it really is a class format. So there's material that you're learning, and that you're learning it in a group setting. So you're learning not only from the instructor, but it sounds like you're also really learning a lot from hearing other people's experience of going through the process.
Yes, that's right. In my case, I had only one other participant in my class. I think there are other classes where there were more. But even though I only had one additional participant, that was really helpful for me. I think we all have a tendency to think that we're alone and unique and facing resistance and some of the battles we're fighting. But when you hear somebody else, you know, verbally expressing the process that they're going through, some of the struggles they have, it's just... You know, I found that to be really, really helpful.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? It's such a great moment when this happens for me frequently, especially on something like the radio show or in a format that you're talking about where someone will say something and it feels like, well, I could have said that. That's exactly my experience. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I also like the tone of it. I was wondering about whether it would be intimidating because you are expected to participate, but it's really not. The instructor is really supportive. It's a really supportive environment. There's no judgment. And you're just listening to the other participants' experience. It's not a setting where people are commenting or judging on it. You're just listening to kind of help your own process and help you through it as well.
Mm-hmm. So even though you wondered, how's this going to be, given that I'm really going to be required to participate, that could seem a little intimidating, but it sounds like it really wasn't because it was such an environment of acceptance and that any experience you're having is perfectly fine. And what a pleasure to have a setting like that because so often we don't get that in our day-to-day lives.
Yeah, that's right. And I really enjoy the fact that the other participant in my class was really open and honest. I think both of us were working at being vulnerable. You do have to share certain things, but it was a really comfortable format to be able to do it.
That's great. And so, Sandra, was this your first experience of using the recording and listening technique?
Yes, it was. And I had heard about it extensively through the email classes that I took from Sherry. I've taken two of them or so, and I, you know, every response would end with a reference to recording and listening, and often she would, or the responder would say, I hope you're recording and listening, because that's the only way that you're going to be able to fix that. You're going to have to record and listen Right. So I feel like I have read so many responses where that was referenced, and after the last email class, I decided that I have had making a lot of progress in this work in terms of dealing with self-hate, but it mm-hmm. really stuck with me that the message around how that can be a really powerful tool, and I wanted to do something to help me learn more about it. And I had this idea that it was going to be difficult, that I had to know certain rules about it, that I had mm-hmm. to do it a certain way, and mm-hmm. part of what's so great about the program is that it demystifies it. If you have any preconceived notion about it, it kind of helps it break it down so that it's just easier.
Yeah. Oh, I'm grinning ear to ear as you're talking because I'm projecting it will make Sherry so happy because she often will joke about how nagging is the highest form of love. And that is really what she does for us in the email class, isn't it? Is to just nag over and over. And, you know, if we're identified, then it's going to seem annoying. Would you stop saying that? You know, I don't want... But, of course, from the perspective of someone who really, really wants people to wake up and not have to live in relationship with that self-hatred that you referenced a moment ago, it makes perfect sense that they would keep nagging until... Like you did, you know, you had the willingness to say, all right, let me look into what this thing is. That's so great.
Yes, and so you can tell her I said thank you because the nagging was effective in my case. And not only that, I'm so grateful I participated because I really was able to see what she's talking about in terms of what a big impact that it can and make on you. And yeah. I saw that pretty much right away from doing the exercises, and of course it's the same as with any other practice where it takes work and you have to commit to it and stick with it, but I could see it right away, the power that it has.
Yeah, for sure. And if you were to articulate, how would you describe the power you feel like it's had for you so far?
Well, for me, I've been working a lot, you know, as most of us are, on self-compassion and treating myself more in a kinder way. And it's one thing to monitor and identify and address the thoughts that you're having around self-hate and all this. I know I have to keep working on that. But it's another thing when you hear your voice and you hear the tone of your voice and you're acknowledging some of the sadness and pain you might have felt and you hear yourself verbalizing, you're giving yourself advice and talking to yourself, it's like being your own friend. You become your own friend, and you know, I think all of us know ourselves better than anybody else. We know our hearts better than anybody else. And when you hear your own voice speaking to you in that way, there's something about it that really sticks with you in a really powerful way. So it's a tool just helping you go down that path of loving yourself. Like I look at it like it's a way that's helping me love myself in the way that I love other people.
Yes. Oh boy, I have goosebumps as you're talking because you articulated it so beautifully. You know, it feels like we know ourselves so intimately. You know, I think we know our own hearts so well, and yet so often we're ignoring ourselves, if you will. And I suspect that's a huge piece of where the suffering comes from for us, is that without kind of realizing it on a conscious level, we're completely disconnected from ourselves. And of course, since as we always talk about in practice throughout email classes and everywhere else, we are life. And so if we're disconnected from ourselves, we're disconnected from life. You know, that's that illusion of being separate. And so I just love the way you articulate how recording and listening can reconnect us with our hearts, with ourselves, which is really a process of reconnecting us with life, with being here.
Yeah, I totally agree. That's exactly what it was for me. Mm-hmm. So I'm really happy that I did it. So now I just have to stick with it. And when I take my next email class, I can sign off as having recorded and
exactly.
Listened.
You get to put down the RL now.
Right. That's right. Because I was truthful before. I didn't do it, but now I'm going to be able to do
you.
It.
Good for you. I mean, Sandra, I'm excited that whoever's out there hearing you tonight and that this is going to go in the archives and because your willingness is incredibly inspiring. You know, just that process of you did the email classes, it sounds like you went along for a while and you weren't recording, but you were taking it all in and you didn't write down the little RL because you weren't RLing yet. And then from Sherry's nagging, you clicked on the link, I would guess, at the end of the email class.
Yes, right.
And decided to take that plunge, even though, you know, there was a little bit of, gosh, what's this going to be like and is it going to be intimidating? But I'm projecting such a sense of, through the practice that you've done that far, knowing that this person, meaning Sandra, is worth it. You know, and I'm willing to take that risk. I'm willing to do what it takes to continue this process of ending suffering. And then what a huge reward it sounds like you're getting for having been willing to do that.
Yeah, I mean, my biggest regret is that I didn't do this, you know, 20 years ago, trying not to punish myself for that.
Right.
But
because, of course, as soon as we record about that, right, and
right.
say that into the recorder, what's the mentor going to say? Immediately the mentor is going to say, no, we have now. It completely doesn't matter.
That's exactly right. But it is so amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, that was my thought process. I really encourage everybody.
Yeah.
You know, to jump into it and to put the work into it, because the payoff is really, really big.
It's huge. And before I let you go, I just want to underline one more thing, which is what you said a minute ago. That's the other key thing. Now all I have to do is keep doing it. And that's huge because, of course, the more we're connected with ourselves, the more the voices are going to attempt to do whatever it is, you know. Lose the recorder, flush it down the toilet, forget about it. What was that recording thing I used to do? You know, the campaign begins. So it's so good that you know that you can reach out, get support, and that you really need to continue. So,
yeah, our last recording that we made was about the benefits of doing this. And so anytime we have resistance, that can come up pretty often, but I have it on my iPhone, which I really recommend, because if you have an iPhone, it's just, or whatever phone, it's just really easy. You have it with you all the time.
Exactly.
So I can push one button and listen to myself saying, this is why you need to do it, because it's changed. It can be life-changing in the following. You've gotten all this out of it, and it doesn't take long. It takes 3 minutes. So it's a good way of reminding myself to keep going.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. And I just had this image of writing down on your calendar, and once a week, penciling that in, just in case the voices put a complete stupid dust campaign on and have you forget. Then you're flipping through your calendar Thursday. What does that say? Listen to the recording about, oh, right.
Yes.
And then you get to listen to it again.
Yep.
Yeah. All right, Sandra. Well, I can't thank you enough for being with us this afternoon. It's been an absolute pleasure.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me. And I want to say thanks again to Tracy, who is my instructor, who's really great. And I'm really appreciative of all of her guidance. So thanks, Jen.
Very good. Okay. Thanks, Sandra. Take good care.
Bye.
Bye-bye. All right, Michael, we'll turn it over to you and Sherry.
Okay, great. Thank you, Jen, and thank you, Sandra. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael. How are you?
Good. I have a big grin on my face after that conversation.
Oh, my gosh. I was in danger. I still am in danger of hurting myself. I'm grinning so hard. Oh, my gosh. I mean, that made my day, my week, my month, my year, possibly my life.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was so, so great. I mean, it's why we do it. Right, it's why we do what we do, and of course, you know, the fact that Sandra has encouraged me to continue in my habit of nagging, you know, I feel really good about that. So yeah, that was wonderful. I'm right there with Jen. I hope everybody, at least a lot of people, get a chance to listen to that, and they. They too find the willingness and the courage to leap in and have that life-changing experience. So that was very, very fun.
Yes, yes, fabulous.
Yeah. So the program that Sandra was participating in, of course, is part of the recording and listening trainers. And Tracy, her instructor, was one of our trainers. So It's never too late. If somebody wants either private instruction in that or to join a group to have instruction in recording and listening, all those same things will apply. Fabulous trainer, really supportive environment, safe, privileged, good solid thing to do. So that's always available to everyone. So hope people will do it.
Yes, and what I love about that and about all our practice opportunities is that whether I've been practicing for 15 years or a month, you know, they're all equally accessible and beneficial and helpful.
Yes.
It's all great.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really true. Once, it seems to me anyway, this is my experience, once we get practice, then whatever anybody is doing benefits us. So as you say, if I'm in a situation with somebody who's been practicing for 15 years, that's a pleasure. If I'm with somebody who's been practicing for 15 days, that's a pleasure. It's all a joy. It's always a joy to be with people who are practicing. We're all doing the same thing. We're all doing everything we can to wake up and end suffering, right? So we are.
Yes.
We're a matched group.
Yes, it's a big blessing. Great.
Mm-hmm. Really is. Yeah.
And I have some announcements here.
All right.
There are still a few slots available in the next session of Stop, Drop, and Text. Don't miss this opportunity to deepen your awareness practice.
That's another one we hear so much good stuff about, right? I guess I was on retreat, and people talking about that program and just what a help it is. What a help to have that.
Yes.
Going on throughout the day. Yeah.
Yes, that's great. And a new email class, Meditating on Chakras, a Practice of Awareness of Energy, is starting October 30th. Participants will explore expressing the energies of this year now through the framework of the chakras.
Yes, and people can count on me nagging.
Yes.
There'll be plenty of love in every response. Yeah.
Yes. And celebrate a year of practice and welcome a new beginning at the New Year's Retreat, which is December 27th through January 1st in Menlo Park, California, in the San Francisco Bay Area.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And for these and all other opportunities, yes.
Is it? Go ahead with visit. I just want to say something after you say that.
Visit schedule.livingcompassion.org.
I want to do one other reminder, Michael, that it's the Bridge Walk campaign is not officially over until the end of this month. And that all of the donations that come in until that date will be a part of the matching grant that we've received. So if somebody's saying, it's too late, I missed it, I'll do it next year, don't do that. You can still participate this year, and it's still going to count.
Great. And so if I give $100, then that'll be matched with another $100 from our generous anonymous donor.
That is exactly the case. Isn't that good?
That's good news.
That's good news. That's changed the whole program kind of good news. So
I'm sure.
All of the rewards for our work are doubled. You know, it's like I go to work and I get X amount of pay for that work, and somebody just said, okay, but now we're going to double that for you. Wow. Okay.
Great.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Michael.
And sure. And a few reminders to make a show to indicate your desire to talk with Sherry today. Press *6 and then 1. And a focus on one topic, please, in about 5 minutes. He is really helpful to everyone. Okay, let's jump in.
Here we go.
Here we go. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. It's Barbara from Australia.
Oh, my goodness. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good.
I haven't talked to you in the longest kind of time.
I know. I have been trying to call in, but it's gotten hard to get through, which is good.
Which is good, I suppose, yes. Yes.
Yeah, I mean...
Okay, well, tell us what's going on.
Well, I had something that I wanted to ask the guidance around. So I'll just dive into that.
Mm-hmm.
It's around my housing situation, and I'm just sort of wanting to get some guidance around, you know, whether it's a part of, I moved 3 years ago sort of under duress into a situation that I thought was like a temporary thing, and then I got really unwell and I've been here now for 3 years. And there are things about it, you know, it's quite a beautiful spot where I am. I'm sort of out in the country, but it's created a lot of isolation for me. And it's also been, you know, a period of a lot of practice. And so I keep, I keep hearing myself say that I want to move and I want to be back sort of in more amongst people in a town, somewhere where activities and things are more accessible for me. But I don't know where to go, and I'm saying one thing and my body's sort of doing something else.
Yeah.
So you
hear that conversation, but you're not making moves in that direction.
Yeah. The only move that I've made, which is I've just handed in an application for government housing, and that was an interesting process. you know, when I moved up to this area, I moved out of the city where I'd lived all my life, and I had to let go of subsidized long-term housing to do that, which felt like an enormous thing to do. So given my health situation and everything, it was a big thing to do. And, of course, the minute that I made that decision, as soon as I'd sort of sent the letter off saying I was doing that, conditioning sort of started with, oh, my God, I can't believe you did that. Like, oh, my God, you know. Now you have to move house all the time. And there's actually been some truth in that. It's actually been hard. I have had to move, you know, 3 or 4 times, and that's not been easy with my health situation, particularly the last time that really, you know, caused a big decline. But what was interesting was in reapplying for public housing, now I had the voice saying, oh, God, I can't believe you want to live in that kind of, you know, it was just doing the same thing. So, you know, it's obviously... I'm not sort of sure, but I managed to get through it, and I managed to hand it in, and I managed to just write. I chose an area to put down, even though there was a lot of confusion and I don't know where I should be. I just put something down and I've handed it in. But that's probably a much longer term thing. There's a big waiting list, and so I guess what I'm trying to look at is, you know, there's definitely a part of me that there's a lot of things about where I am that feed me, like I'm in nature and it's very beautiful and it's very tranquil and I do practice a lot. And then there's another part of me that wants to be around people more, be more able to do activities, be a little bit more in the world. So trying to distinguish whether they are both parts of me or whether conditioning is masquerading in there?
Yeah. So let me ask you this. You definitely noticed the whatever you do, the voices are going to come in with oh my God, you're going to die on the other side of it. So how is your health currently?
Look, it's improved from what it was last year, but Yeah, I'm not sort of sure that I'm still physically quite. I certainly don't feel up to moving into something that's not very stable, that I might just have to move from again, you know, in. And where I am now, I know that I know my landlords, it feels stable. There's a lot of security in that, which is still actually really important for me, even though other aspects of it have been really challenging.
Okay, and so the I want to be around more people and that sort of thing. Is what's sort of the tone of that? And of course, what I'm asking you is in an attempt to see. So there you are. You're in a really beautiful place. It's stable. You have a lot of opportunity, time, and space to practice. Your health has improved, and now there's talk of wanting to go into an environment that probably isn't going to have those components, as well as is likely to have some kind of negative aspects to it. And so I'm just trying to get a feel, as I know you are, for is this,
why would I want to do that?
yeah, when we say it like that. So is there really an unmet need, or is it just kind of a campaign to set you up for misery? So the be around people more and have more activities, those are things that are just really not available to you where you are now.
Not really. It's too much of a drive from where I am from where my health is at the moment. So it's, you know, maybe a 40-kilometer, 50-kilometer round trip to go to a sitting group or to you know, get involved in an art class or those sorts of things. Whereas if I was in a town. So I'm not well enough to be able to do the class plus all the driving and the little country roads and everything. But if I was in a town, I'm probably getting well enough to be able to do a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
If things were right there, readily available and easy to access.
Mm-hmm. And is there some downside to that? In other words, if you were in a town, there would be town. There would be noise and, you know, that kind of activity that goes along with town, as well as, so your environment would not probably be quite as beautiful and conducive to the more quiet lifestyle. And the stress of the move and the concern about needing to move again would. Does it seem like that would outweigh those possibilities or feels like that would be manageable?
That's what I'm not sure, Sherry. And I'm also aware that how I feel about it is it varies because I'm still quite up and down with my health, you know. And when I'm really down, I think it would be easier if I was somewhere else, but I think actually that it's an isolating situation no matter where I am.
Right.
You know,
right.
If
when you're not feeling well, you're going to be on your own, period, whether you're in a city or in the country. Right.
And I have to keep reminding myself that that actually was my experience when I was living in the city. You know, if I was really unwell, I was isolated. And in a way, I'm isolated, not in a beautiful place.
right, yeah. And so are there some of those kinds of things that you would like to pursue that are available to you without going somewhere? You know, I think about, of course, with us, you know, there are so many practice opportunities that are virtual. So you do have a sangha, but things like art classes and things like that, are those things that you can participate in at a distance, online, say?
I probably can, Sherry. I think that it's the part of me that actually wants to be doing things not all the time on my own.
Mm-hmm.
That's the part mm-hmm. that wants to move, you know. And I'm not by nature a solitary person. I've sort of become that through my illness. But it's the part of me that wants to have some kind of social life.
And are there people around you, or are literally you're that many kilometers from like the nearest people? Is there a
No, there are people around. And there's no village, unfortunately. The closest village is 15-minute drive away. But my neighbours immediately near me, I know. So I do have people. We don't sort of have much social interaction, but there are people right next door that I know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, there's
and
no...
So it might be time to sit with this, huh? And to see if, as your health continues to improve, something opens up for you that is kind of a life offering, rather
yes.
than you needing to figure it out and make it happen.
Yeah. That's what I've been doing, you know. That's been the approach I've been taking. But I just thought, well, it's now 3 years, and I just thought, I'll just ring and talk it out and see if something
yeah.
becomes obvious. Mm.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm, because
yeah, well, it's
that,
good
that
to do that, because
happens.
Otherwise it just rockets around in our head, and
yeah,
we know who's interested in having that happen. So it is good. It is good to look at. And even to me, if it's just even explaining it to somebody else, you get to hear yourself say it. And hear what you say about this side and that side and the, you know, the positives and the negatives of the various possibilities. But for me, I know, because I live in that place a lot of, well, maybe this or maybe that, you know, and often I'll get struck by some fancy and think, oh, that would be so great, blah, 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 blah. And then it's always let's see where we are in 6 months. And usually in 6 months, I've gone through, you know, 10 or 12 of those. And and often in that 6 months, whatever I'm actually doing has unfolded while I'm doing that process, you know,
mm-hmm.
so something
yeah.
has, in your case, you know, the people write back and say, well, we have this place for you that would be an option. And it either turns out to be something you would really love to do and it's worth the stress and strain of a move, or you realize, no, you know, I don't want to do it badly enough. I don't want to go through that in order to wind up there. And then something else moves in that way. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks. Yeah, that's sort of what I thought with putting in the application. I thought, okay, just do it, and it's just a step in a direction, and it could. Who knows what that movement that might create or clarity it might bring.
Yes, yes, and part of it is just we talk about this a lot, of course, the old best year yet, you know, you lay out what you would like to have happen the next year, your goals and that sort of thing, and whether you make any movement at all volitionally, about 80% of those things happen, just because that's the direction we're going in. That's what we're thinking about. It's hard to know whether we're opening the doors with our intention or life is opening them in front of us, but somehow it all moves along like that. So for you to know that it's your intention to have more of a community, more people around, more of a social life, well, now how might that unfold?
Mm-hmm.
To have that... to hold that intention, you know that you want that. whether wherever you are, you know you want that. And so how might that begin to evolve?
Okay.
Not that we can know now, but with that intention, then to see what unfolds.
Great. Thanks, Sherry.
Oh,
Certainly, it's been a fabulous opportunity to practice watching the internals change without the externals changing.
Yes. Boy, and isn't that big? That's worth the price of the ticket, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mhm. Yeah. Well, it's great to talk with you.
Yes, much gratitude. Thank
you. Take good care. All right.
Okay, bye, Sherry. Bye, Michael. Bye.
Bye. Thanks for joining us, Barbara. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Great conversation, Sherry, and I can certainly relate to that whole process.
Yeah, whatever the content is, most of us, I suspect, are in some form of that, what would you call it, discernment or whatever, a lot of the time, because things are occurring to us constantly, and we become aware of different possibilities or different ways that we feel or needs that we have now or how we're changing, and then to be open to, and then to sense when this is a direction that I want to go in. Somebody was just talking to me about that, and it was that feeling of all the doors are just being opened in front of me. I know what it is—a career move, a possibility that she'd kind of dreamed of for all of her professional life, and suddenly somebody's literally handing it to her. And then to get to watch all of the fears that come up or all of the, as Barbara was indicating, the other side of the conversation, you know, but you can't do that because of da-da-da-da-da. And such a great opportunity to watch conditioning play both sides of the field. And, good practice.
Yes, excellent.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Sherry, we're going to hear from our coaches program, and then we'll be right back.
All right.
This year's theme is training to live in this year now. In any training, having a personal trainer helps tremendously. We can think of Zen Awareness coaches as personal trainers. The coaches have been trained by Sherry Huber to offer individual coaching with any number of life issues or awareness practice in general, with special emphasis on recording and listening. We hear from folks new to practice and old-timers alike that awareness coaching provides the extra support their heart desires. And since coaches donate a percentage of their fees to Living Compassion, having a coach also supports practice. To request a Zen Awareness coach, visit sanghamarket.com. Go to Services, under All Categories. Click on the little monk at the bottom, and then follow the directions. We hope to hear from you soon.
Welcome back to Open Air. And Sherry, we have another caller here.
All right.
Thank you.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Yeah, hi, Sherry. My name is Craig, and I'm from Collinswood, New Jersey.
Craig?
Yeah.
How are you doing?
I'm all right. I'm okay. Actually, it was very unexpected. I didn't plan on speaking with you tonight. I had my mentoring call, my coaching call, and actually my coach suggested it. I've never listened into Open Air, although I've heard it mentioned many times. The reason I'm calling you is I'm needing some guidance around standards. You know, I've been working with this stuff for a very long time. There's Nothing Wrong With You workshop a few months ago in North Carolina, and I've read a number of your books frequently. The thing that I'm really struggling with, though, is really being able to, I was listening to what you were saying to the last caller, which about, you know, setting the intention. It's really hard to not get hooked or to, I guess, in recording and listening, to really feel the conviction of there being no standards. I live my whole day pretty much, and have for the last 20 some odd years in a constant state of what I've determined just recently, constantly in a hyper-vigilant way of deciding whether I'm meeting my standard or not. And it is an exhausting, physically exhausting thing. I was trying to explain to my coach that when I'm able to direct my focus and my concentration to something other than that, because it really is practically always 99.9 some percent of the time in some aspect of my conscious awareness, my whole body goes into a contracted state. And if I can break that, whether it's through, you know, a sitting practice or something, I'm able to, in moments, be able to literally thaw out as if, you know, somebody is taking their foot off of a hose that, you know, is being impeded. I guess the flow is being impeded. This is an area of suffering that I can't even begin to talk about. The point of it is that it's abundantly clear. You know, I go through my day, and there is the constant sense that I need to be able to, you know, conditioning is saying I need to be able to meet some standard, which of course I can't meet, or maybe I met it, but, you know, you're not going to meet it 5 minutes from now. I want to be able to give myself permission to just let go of the whole thing. And sort of like go into kind of like a free fall, and let the chips fall where they may. Because just saying that, you know, today, I mean, I had this awareness today that it was really, really operating in a way that I hadn't even noticed. And I was experiencing relief. I don't know, I guess I could go on and on about it, but the point here is that I was telling my coach that I was having some a block or something in regards to recording and listening around this, although I'd done some, and it was effective at one point. I don't know if somehow conditioning is in some way hijacked that, as it does with everything else. And
I think we can count on that, Craig. I think we can count on it, right? The thing about the thing that's so hard for us to get is that what's happening to you is happening to every conditioned human being on the planet. It's not even cultural. It's every human being, because we have the unique ability to experience ourselves as separate from life. We can, you know, do you have a pet? You have a dog or anything like that?
We have three cats.
Okay. All right. So you can see that they are in many ways luckier than we are, because
absolutely,
they are only in the moment that they're in. Now, they can be annoying as anything, because they're completely focused on what they want and getting their little needs met. But there's no feeling bad or guilty or, you know, even if they don't get what they want, there's no hard feelings. They'll just keep trying to get it, right? But we have the ability to imagine that there's another reality besides this one in which everything is completely different, you know, where you always meet all of these standards that you've been given. And while you're meeting all of these standards and being 1,000% productive and effective and successful, you're also relaxed and happy and loving and kind and generous, right? But you see, that ability that we have only causes us to suffer. It doesn't, you know, it's not that we can't get past it, but until we start the process of getting past that process, we suffer. And you articulated it perfectly. It's a torture system. No matter what you do, it's not enough. Even though you've met the standard, you won't soon. You didn't in the past. That's just how it happens, right? So are you an athletic sort of a guy?
Well, in the past, yes, but because of just how much this has sapped me in terms of my energy, I really can't do athletics because it really depletes me.
Okay, so we could say you're pretty in the not terribly fit department.
I actually look and am pretty fit. I don't know. I used to work out quite a bit when I was a lot younger and still somehow appear to look pretty fit.
You look pretty fit, but you know you're not.
Exactly.
Yeah. And so if you were to get as fit as you look, you know that it would take you a while. You can't just decide, I really want to be fit. I'm going to put all my focus, all my attention on getting fit, and next week you'll be fit. It's not going to work that way. No matter how much we might wish it, it just doesn't work that way. And neither does ending conditioning's reign of terror. So it's a process. It's something that we learn to do moment by moment by moment by moment, which is a really grand and glorious thing, which it takes us a while to realize how grand and glorious it is. Because what happens as we go through this process is that we see exactly how the process happens. And that not only leads to our freedom, but it actually assists us to be helpful to other people, because it's happening in exactly the same way for everybody. So, yes, you are, as every conditioned human being, you are an energy supply system for egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate, right? It operates you like a well-tuned machine. It's talking to you constantly. It's manipulating you, controlling you, and it's feeding off of your energy, which is why you're depleted, right?
Mm-hmm.
So in order to turn that around, there are some things that we simply must do. And the primary thing we must do is to learn to take our attention away from it and put our attention on the present. And it's huge, isn't it? Anybody who's attempted it knows that that is the biggest challenge a human being can have.
Yeah.
Yeah? And so I can promise you that something like recording and listening, I don't know if you were here for the good news update when Sandra was talking to us about it earlier, but something, a tool that is as effective as recording and listening in freeing a human being from that tyranny is going to be something that the terror system is going to go after like nothing else. Because if you do it, if you really practice it, if you get into it, you'll begin to experience the freedom, and you'll want to do it more, and you'll be more free and like that until we talk about it as a wheel turning, right? Right now, that wheel is turning at a pretty good clip in the direction of suffering, and you're feeling the suffering. With practice, we can bring that wheel to a stop, and we can get it going in the other direction, so it's turning away from suffering and toward freedom. Right? Mm-hmm. But it's a practice. It's a process.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So bottom line, Craig, what I would like to communicate tonight is don't let the voices discourage you.
Okay.
If you weren't making progress, they wouldn't be talking to you. So the fact that they are trying to stop you from practicing, interfering with recording, it's amazing that you have and have kept a coach, right? Because they're not fond of that sort of thing. As you just keep going step by step by step by step, you will begin to see that the balance of power is shifting. And the most important thing for us is to stick with it. If they can get us to quit, they've won. If we stick with it, they lose.
Okay. I agree with the general premise, yeah.
Yeah. And we've seen, I mean, I've seen it, you know, with thousands and thousands and thousands of people at this point. So, again, I like to encourage people with the notion that this is not just awareness practice. This is science. If you take these steps, if you do these things, this will be the result. The only way not to have the result is not to take the steps.
Okay, right. So it's like, you know, I guess making a meal or making a cake.
That's right.
If you keep doing the instructions, you have to get it somewhat closer to the what the cake is going to look like ultimately.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right, and that's a perfect image for it. Because if it doesn't turn out the way it's in quotes supposed to, then what we can know is we haven't followed the instructions well enough.
Mm-hmm.
So if we take it back to the ego identity maintenance system, it's constantly trying to distract us, constantly making a case that we can't do it, it's not working, you know, you're the exception to everybody else it can work for, but not for you. And so, you know, I'm winding up putting that amount of sugar that was supposed to be flour that was, you know, all of these other kinds of things. And so if it doesn't come out the way the picture is in the book, it's because I haven't paid attention and done it the way it needs to be done. And that's where our practice is.
Yeah, okay. All right, very good.
So you can do it. You can do it. Just keep at it.
All right, good. Well, it always helps to hear that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And it really is, Craig, it's the beauty of Sangha. You know, it's being around other people who are doing it, other people who have been doing it longer, other people who will say to you, yeah, if you do it, it'll work. And they're speaking from experience and from a place of authority because they've done it. And that's heartening, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Take good care of yourself. All right.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Craig. And that was another amazing conversation, Sherry. So helpful.
Yeah. It's Sangha. There's nothing like it, is there?
Yes. Yes, there is nothing.
You know,
like it.
We do this together, and we share the experience, and there we are.
Yes. Yeah, we bring the willingness and the courage, and we get great guidance, and we just keep showing up.
That's right. And the magic happens.
The magic happens. And the magic is that we have another caller here.
Oh, I love that magic. All right. Thank you.
Sure. Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. This is Isata from Peru.
Oh, for heaven's sake. I was just talking about you.
Really?
That's a true story. Yes, I was just asking somebody, have we heard from Isata? Because I haven't heard anything about her in the longest time. And there you are.
I actually brought in a couple of weeks ago to ask which retreat they recommended that I attend. So
did they say come to New Year's?
No, but I will come anyway.
Oh, good.
I will sign in after this call. Because I didn't know, but I don't want to waste my question with that, because I have already decided about that. I have something else that I wanted to ask you about.
Okay.
I am thinking a lot about the spirit of an inquiry and about experimenting. Because, I really love the attitude practice has toward this thing. And also I really, really love science, no? And I wanted to ask you, is there anybody doing any scientific study about how recording and listening really works, and you know, in the brain and the synapses and all these things?
No.
Because it's so
if you'll take it on, I'll come up with a way to pay you good money. No. I more than anything, I would like that to happen. But
really?
I really don't know how to go about doing it. Yeah. I've gotten very excited about Dr. Daniel Amen and his brain scanning and that sort of thing. And I so want to get a study going where, you know, just people come in and they get the brain scanned and then they record and listen for 3 months and then 6 months and a year. And each juncture they get another scan and see the changes that I know they're happening, but we don't have any proof.
Wow, because, yes, I think it has to be studied. Because, you know, I was listening to another podcast, and there was a scientist who studies how a little game that one can play on his phone that is called Tetris works on the brain, and telling how playing this little game a couple of minutes per day is so good that it even can cure soldiers after a thing that would cause post-traumatic stress. They play this game for 5 minutes and they are less likely to have post-traumatic stress. And this person then was asked by the interviewer, which book do you think everybody should read? And this person said, one of your books, answered, you know. And I thought, wow, if this is, did I explain it bad? So there was an interview with a scientist who was talking about a video game that is a stupid video game that everybody can download on their phone. And
I'm right there.
And she made a study with people who had things happening to them, and these things were things that were likely to cause post-traumatic stress. So after these events, these people were asked to play this game for 5 minutes. You know? Doing this triggered something in their brain, which made it less likely for them to come up with post-traumatic stress. And this thing has been scientifically studied by a scientist. I will tell you the name in a mail, because I don't know if it goes against the privileged environment. So when this scientist was asked by the interviewer, talking about something else, what is a book that you think everybody should read? This person mentioned a book of yours.
Good grief.
Yeah, fantastic, you know. So this made me think, if they made this study with something like the video game, you know, we have to make a study about recording and listening, also to optimize it, everybody can do it the way they want, but it's something that needs to be studied, right?
Yes, I'm right there, yes. Desperately, I want that. I want everybody, I want little kids to be recording and listening, so they don't have to go through all of the prepubescent peer pressure nonsense, and they'll just skate through adolescence healthy and happy and liking themselves. And I'm right there. How do we do it? Who do we know? Who is this scientist? Can you send me the names of these people?
Yeah, because I think I don't know, maybe it's a member of the Sangha, so I guess it would be kind of not appropriate to say the name, even if I remember it, you know? I will write it in.
Yeah, if you write it in, that would be lovely. Mm-hmm. I would really appreciate that.
The interview too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm. Because that's what it's going to take. You know, I'm convinced in 10 years, 15, 20 years, this will be as much a part of society as, anything else, yoga and meditation. It's just people don't understand it. And it's what we were just talking about with Craig. Because it's so new, when people run into resistance to it, that we're trained to think resistance means this is not a good thing or I shouldn't do this thing, rather than, no, actually, when you run into resistance for something like this, meditation or eating well or getting enough sleep or recording and listening, when you run into resistance, that means you should do it.
Exactly. And it's so tricky to break this circle without making the you should do it part of the trick, you know, part of the game. Yeah. It's so hard, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it needs to get introduced into society. It needs to be the kind of thing people are talking about on morning television shows, and they're reading articles in newspapers and magazines, and then it gets into the culture and it starts being familiar, and then people will try it for themselves. And when they try it for themselves, especially if they get an RL trainer or a Zen awareness coach or something like that, then they have the support for doing it. They're successful. They have their own experience, and it's a done deal.
Exactly. And probably it can be studied, you know, exactly, you know, of course the more the better, you know, but it probably can be studied how much is the minimum, optimum. You know, there are a lot of stuff that can really be studied to make it, you know, the most efficient possible. Because, of course, we like to do it forever because it's kind of a spiritual thing for us, no? But it can also be a more scientific thing, you know?
Absolutely.
Go to the time that I need to go, kind of, you know? Or doing the exercise that is best for my muscle, you know?
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. All right. Well, you send me that information.
I will.
And we'll get started. Somebody gave me the name of a person at Massachusetts General Hospital. They're doing studies there with depression. And, I mean, recording and listening, depression, it'll take a person out of depression. All of these issues that people have been working with through meditation, and not that meditation isn't the most wonderful thing that ever happened, it is. But it's very hard for people to do, very hard for people to do. Recording and listening, anybody can do it. And to have the ability to affect so many conditions. We're talking about it with obsessive compulsive disorder. I try to leave the house and I have to go back and keep going back to check and see if I locked the door. Well, if I record as I'm going out the door,
It's 8:15 on Monday morning, the and I'm walking out of my front door. I've turned off the stove. I've turned off the iron. The shower isn't running, and I'm locking the front door. When that system kicks in with the obsessive thoughts about those things, I can listen to the recording, and I know what is true. There's huge potential in it.
Absolutely, yeah. Oh, after this call, I will sign in for the New Year's retreat, and then I'll send you the mail with the information.
Good woman. All right. All right. That's a good combination. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
All right. See you soon.
See you soon, yeah. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye, Ashota.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Ashota. Wow, it's just one amazing conversation after another tonight, Sherry.
We know how to have a good time, don't we? Why do people think this sort of thing is not fun? I don't know. How did it get that reputation?
Yes. So we're about 4 minutes to the hour. Would you like to talk to one more person?
Oh, let's try it. We'll whoever comes on, we know we only have a couple of minutes, but let's see how far we get.
Okay, great. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, perfect. This is George.
George, how are you?
I'm terrific, and I really wanted to call. It's to validate and to give testament and testimony and confirmation from experience and authority and whatever other words you want to use to reinforce the fact that recording and listening works.
Uh-huh.
And it works.
My fellow depression expert.
Right, exactly. You were just talking about that.
Mm-hmm.
I feel as though I have reached some kind of another shore with this. And I can look back and say, how wonderful. And all I want to do now is really just give it.
Yes.
You know, give it away.
Yes.
When I'm with people, I remember I used to, when I would be talking with people or being with people or something, I would be very self-aware of, well, now how do they feel about me and what do they think about me and am I making a good impression and all of that. And now it's like, I don't care. I just want to be with them. I want to be a loving presence with them in the best possible way that I can be. And that's just what a wonderful place to be.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. It's the best.
Yeah.
And it comes from feeling good, enjoying life, being grateful, right?
Yes, yes. All of those things. And it comes from that word relentless, just relentless practice. No matter what the voices say, no matter what the situation, external situation is, and it's not really what you do. It seems it's just how you do it, and the how is everything. So I am thrilled to be able to plug in my earplug or turn on the audio system in the car. Or lie down and put the little plug in my ear and fall asleep to my recording. I just do it all the time. I mean, I don't even think about it. I don't hear any voices that say, oh, you can't do that now, or, oh, this other thing is more important or whatever. It's just, I know it's the most important thing for me, and it's just...
It's just where you want to live.
It's just where I want to live.
Mm-hmm.
So I have just tremendous gratitude for you and for Sangha and for this work, which...
Well, this is perfect, George, because we started out at the show with Sandra and finishing up here with you and with Usota. And so I am, in a couple of weeks when I start that email class, I am going to be renewed in my enthusiasm for nagging. Because, I just want, whatever can help somebody get past that barrier and find the courage and willingness to take this step and find the freedom, I'm in.
Yep.
Yeah.
Me too.
Well, thank you. Thank you, sir.
I'm
it's
right
great to
you.
Hear your voice. I love knowing you're doing well. Love it.
Me too.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks, George. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, George. And I'm just stunned here, Sherry. It's an amazing, amazing show, an amazing practice.
It is. We're so lucky. We are
so lucky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Thanks
well, good Lord willing, we'll talk next week.
Okay, perfect. Talk with you then.
All right. Thanks, Michael. Good night.
Thank you. Good night.